Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I was surprised to see, by the way, a response when I had posted the ESPN story, which I found to be just macaroni and cheese. I mean, it was meatballs in a cup for me. I couldn't gobble it up enough. It was Don Van Natta and the ESPN crew talking about Dan Snyder and how sad he is and just
he's just mad. Oh, it's great, isn't it?
And we were literally talking about this last week.
Mm-hmm.
Not to pat myself on the back, but I called this one. Said, there's no chance he's happy or watching this team and doing anything other than stewing. He's the worst person imaginable. The amount of people that responded to me and pretended to not care. Why would I read this? I'm over Dan Snyder. That's the past. Those people and I do not see eye to eye on this one. Because there's not ever going to be a story, as long as I live, about how angry Dan Snyder is to not be the owner of the team anymore, that I'm not going to read.
If you want to charge me money to read it, I'll pay it. You give me that content, I'll give you my attention.
Do you think that the people that said to me, oh, why do we care about this? Focus on the Eagles. We're on to bigger, better things. Who cares? Do you think they read it? I bet you they did.
Maybe they did or didn't. It's odd to me. I find myself all the time just out of lockstep with so many people on a million things, which is probably not a great place to be honest with you, as like the tide of society moves in one way, and I'm over there shaking my fist at the ocean. But that's one of the ones I'll never get. For example, you and I might differ on this. If somebody writes a book tomorrow, and maybe you've been, I have no idea. I'm just saying, you might disagree with me. Somebody writes a book tomorrow and says, I've written a book about what really went on with Shanahan and Robert Griffin. Immediately, pre-order right now. Every ounce that I can get on that subject, I want to revisit it every day and talk about it and think about it and live in it again because of how much I poured into it. Same with the Snyder thing. Not that I'm like positive on Snyder. I hate that guy's guts. But like this... it was an energy siphon for me. The amount of time I've dedicated towards it, towards reading every one of these, trying to understand the different lawsuits and the investigations, and what went on in the you know, moonshot hope that SOB had to give up the team, and then he did. Like, all that time to me is, I'll never get, like, I can't uninvest. Does that make sense? I can't divest from things in that way. Some people can, and God bless you if you can, but yeah, I don't understand it. It's not my pathology.
When I saw that story came out, I thought, this is fan porn.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a fan of this team that is not going to be desperate to find out about Dan Snyder's unhappiness in this moment. By the way, there were some gems in there, including basically Joe Gibbs being the hero of the organization one last time. You saw where he was involved, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had to be one of the people that was at the very end still convincing Dan Snyder, hey, man, you got to go through with this. This is the only way that this gets worse for you, is if you don't go through with this. Because for those of you that didn't read the story, shocker. And I think most of us assumed this because of how long it lingered and took, and there was still all this uncertainty. Like, we're asking people, what yard line is the ball at? And you're getting conflicting reports. Well, it's because Dan was wavering until the last possible second. Like, he did not want to give the keys over to the house for Josh Harris to walk into his new home. The keys to the stadium. I don't know if that's a literal or figurative thing. I don't really think there's like a key that gets turned to go into the A gate or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, he refused to basically, they're like, they have an event there. The ownership group tomorrow, man. Like, they need to be there. You need to give them access.
He was literally throwing a tantrum.
And he was literally saying, well, it'll be trespassing because it's still mine until I say it's not. And they're like, yeah, but this is the time where you say it's not. It's over now. You got to do this, buddy. They're still trying to convince him of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was willing to go back on his word.
And it's one of the big things to me that I remember throughout that whole process where I'm going, no one should be counting on anything. Like, nobody should be celebrating or prematurely raising a fist in pride and joy until he's gone, until he really is gone. Because, again, this is not a rational person. A rational person is able to execute these things. Oh, I've received money. Here is the good I promised you. Here is the thing. Here's the commodity you've paid for. There it is. The irrational, the tyrant, the tyrannical, who can't possibly handle the idea that the seas don't part in his to his every whim, that he feels like it's been ripped away from him and he's been beaten. Because that's what happened to him. He got beat. I don't think he went, oh, no, I should probably do the right thing. He was defeated, and acknowledging that is the hardest thing that little twerp probably has ever had to do, and I love it. I love that it eats at him. I hope it eats at him forever.
It's also just not a coincidence that it took one season. It took 1 year after he got here for him to tear the whole thing down, because people do forget that they were in a pretty good spot when he showed up. I know it had been 8 years since they'd last won a Super Bowl at that time, but they were a well-built team that finished number two in offense,
mm-hmm.
that had a Pro Bowl quarterback that had been acquired via trade in Brad Johnson.
That's right.
Who threw for 4,000 yards, which at that team wasn't nothing. At that time, rather. Two 1,000-yard receivers with Westbrook and Connell. A 1,450-yard running back in Steven Davis.
They had some things going on.
It was a good team. He takes over in the spring of 99 right before training camp, so it's not his team. And that club went out and won and got to the second round of the playoffs and was on the verge of the NFC Championship game. And people forget the history, but it was right after that that he trades for Jeff George. Remember this.
Oh, yeah?
Johnson was a Pro Bowler who threw for 4,000 yards, and you trade for one of the bigger named kind of malcontent quarterbacks in the league.
The ultimate me guy.
That's when I think a lot of people knew, this owner doesn't really know what he's doing, because it came out right away that it was his decision. Supposedly, Sonny Jurgensen had told him and counseled him that he needed to go get a stronger-armed quarterback, and Jeff George was the guy. And I think at that time, Dan cared about what Sonny said and maybe George Michael. And
Sonny might have been like, he reminds me of me with his arm strength.
Okay. One or two other people, maybe. So anyway, so he makes that trade, and then he spent $100 million. We learned the hard way pretty quickly around here. Just going out and adding players is not going to guarantee you anything.
Because, I'm obviously older than you. I was actually, the George part was, I didn't get that. The other stuff.
Oh, people were giddy.
I'm going, oh my God.
I was too.
This is unbelievable.
It's Deion Sanders. Yes. It's Mark Carrier. I mean, these were stars, Pro Bowlers, late in their career.
They had three names to a defense that was a desperate need of help.
Bruce Smith.
Yeah.
So they go spend that money. And then the 2000 season was his first year truly in control.
Mm-hmm.
He ran the team again in 99, but he didn't build the team until 2000. North Turner didn't last that season. He got fired above 500, mind you, 7-6, just outside in the hunt graphic for the playoffs with three games to go. And the way the story goes, that a bunch of players told him they wanted Terry Rubisky to get the job, and he said after Rubisky was the interim head coach, that he wasn't going to do that. And so it began kind of a fracturing with some of the players in the locker room. But he went out and he got Marty Schottenheimer. Schottenheimer, supposedly, he had decided by the end of his first training camp he was going to fire. He lasted 1 year. Again, this is the second year of him running this thing.
Yeah.
Schottenheimer's out after an 8-3 finish with Tony Banks at quarterback, a 5-game winning streak in that year. We were relitigating all of this with Ross Tucker at lunch, by the way, in Philly. We're going back through it all. Then he goes and gets Steve Spurrier. He only lasts 2 years. And then it was Joe Gibbs' time, 2.0. We were on, like Donkey Kong.
Oh, but my God, dude.
He was just so bad. So the idea that after one season, Dan Snyder not being around, they already get further than they ever got with him, should surprise nobody. He was a noose around the neck of this thing. He strangled the life out of that building.
You're
every
trying
day.
To run a race that's hard to win. And then it's like, okay, I'm Dan Snyder. I'm your lead underpants.
Yeah, he's a cinder block around your foot.
Yeah, I'm the guy doing I'm the tug of war anchor pulling in the opposite direction as you're trying to sprint. You can move, but you ain't winning. There's no way. You're limited. More playoff wins in a month than he had his entire time here, not counting 99 that he inherited.
Right.
Sorry. It's obvious. Now, just because he's gone doesn't mean you go to the NFC title game. You needed a magic carpet ride to do that. But the point is they won more games than they had in forever. That, you know, it's not a wonder that things were just done professionally.
The whole thing
and right.
felt different.
Well,
players are treated better.
At any point in time.
Staffers are treated better.
At any point in time, Dan could have gone, you know what's unacceptable? This eyesore turf field that's unusable, that's been unusable, that's disgusting and an embarrassment right in the middle of our facility there in Ashburn. Anytime you want to prove that anything matters to you.
I think they went at least 15, maybe closer to 20 years without using that.
This is the point. What should have happened the first day they took over. Wait, what? That's the case? Fix it. What are we about here? We're about winning. It was never. Never was. It had to be. Winning was an ancillary thing with doing it his way. Like, it'd be nice to. I actually think he wanted to win. The same way I would like to lose weight. What are you doing about it, loser? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
He 100% was desperate to win. But he wanted to win his way. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure along the way at different points, people sat him down and said, hey, here's how you got to do it. He never tried that. I'm going to show you that I can do it my way. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Steve Spurrier as an example. When Spurrier got hired to the NFL, his goal was to win. He wanted to win. But his goal was to show that the same way he did it in college, the run and gun at Florida, the fun and gun, whatever he called it, that was going to work in the NFL. He gave up play calling duties to Hugh Jackson for a game. Steven Davis ran 26 times for over 100 yards, and they won. Right after the game, Spurrier's beside himself because he didn't call the plays. He didn't have fun during the game. They ran it more than he wanted to. It didn't look the way he wanted it to. So do you really want to win if you really only want to win your way? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to sacrifice? But that story was just catnip. I mean, that was the absolute best.
I read it so many times, and I kept walking up to my wife, who was very busy. Go look. He actually never wanted to sell. I said that. Remember that he never actually wanted to, but he was trapped. And then it took Joe Gibbs to talk to him. She's like, leave me alone. Like, I can't get enough of it. I might just read it again tonight.
I just can't get over the fans who say they don't care. That, like, oh, well, I'm not going to read that. I mean, maybe it's just because there was a big playoff game that weekend, because it came out on the verge of the NFC
Saturday,
title
maybe?
Game.
Yeah.
So maybe they weren't saying, like, they have no interest in the story ever as much as, like, I'm thinking about the title game. But what are you, the quarterback? You don't have time. You got your VR set.
What's the same pathology?
Jaden, like, you probably got some time to read a story in the morning and then get ready and put your chips on the counter for the game in the afternoon.
Yeah, but it's just like finger in your ears, you know, sort of like, you know, hold your breath, you turn purple kind of thing. When if someone mentions like, hey, this is what happened under Ron Rivera as a point of reference. Why are you even talking about that? Why they got a game this weekend? Like, okay, man, like multiple plates. I'm walking over here. I got gum in my mouth, and so far nothing bad's happened. We'll be able to get through that. But the other part is that group that doesn't even want it in front of them is the refusal to acknowledge that, yeah, there's a huge chunk of us that like are fascinated by this, that will always care, right? Like you can throw as many tantrums as you want of fandom. Get as pissed off as you want about it. Like The rest of us should still be able to read it and enjoy it and discuss it.
I am way better at moving on and like forgiving and forgetting than you are.
True.
But even I get that there's a little bit of a healing process.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to just pretend like that never happened. this guy took my favorite thing away from me and made it harder for me to enjoy it, mm-hmm. and at times made me hate it for a long, 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 long time. Don't ask me to just pretend like that never happened because he's been gone for a couple of months.
Like, if this article comes out when I'm 70 and my kid who's like in his 40s now, like, why do you care? You don't get it, man. Just because of what you just said. What was ripped away, what was precious and perfect and awesome, became poisoned and sullied.